Live Creative Now, episode 82.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, hello. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, which is a lie, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. Last week in episode 81, I shared a sneak peek audio version of a blog post that published a few days later on my birthday, November 5th, called On Six-Pack Abs and Turning 50. For this week's episode, episode 82, I thought I'd share with you a TED-style talk that I just gave at Patty Dye's Life as a Verb Camp last Friday, November 4th, the day before my 50th birthday. The talk is entitled, So You Want to Change the World? Go Get Creating. Might sound like a familiar concept to you. So let's do this. It's 18 years ago, and I'm minding my own business when two big guys start yelling at me, taunting me, and I tell them to go away, leave me alone, but they don't. And then one of them rushes me. So I strike out, and I even manage to kick him in the crotch, which knocks him off balance. He falls down, but as he falls, he grabs me. And suddenly, I am on my back, and he has his hands around my ankles like vice grips. So I flip to one side, and I start bicycling my legs to scrape his hands off, which I manage to do, but he keeps grabbing back on. So I flip to the other side, and this keeps going for what feels like forever until, bam, I kick him in the head hard enough to knock him out. Meanwhile, his friend has run away. Now, needless to say, this was pretty terrifying. However, thankfully, I was never in any actual danger because this wasn't a real assault. This was a practice fight in an impact self-defense class, one of those classes where the male instructors wear padded armor and these enormous duct-taped padded helmets, so you get to use full force fighting techniques, seriously empowering. But the best thing about impact self-defense classes is that in the middle session, you get to have a custom fight. And a custom fight is where you get to have the mugger or muggers, as it was in this case, be anyone you want. So you could reenact an actual scenario from your history, but give it a good ending where you win this time, or you can fight the thing that you're most terrified of, or you can even have the muggers be quote-unquote inner muggers. And that's what this fight was. I had the muggers be those inner mugger gremlin voices inside my head that told me that art isn't important. At the time, I was a relatively new artist and calligrapher, and I was just getting started working on turning my art and calligraphy into a business. But my inner mugger gremlin voices told me that that was a waste, that I should be finding the cure for cancer or saving lepers, doing something important. Art isn't important. Is that something that you've ever been able to relate to? Boy, I sure have, obviously. There's this strong idea floating around in the culture that creative expression is frivolous, self-indulgent, unimportant. And really, all you have to do is look at funding for the arts in the schools and in the wider culture to see that we are not exactly training people to value creative expression. And then on top of that, there is this other very prevalent notion that the arts are reserved for the elite few, the special, talented ones, not everybody else. And this starts really early. For me, it started in kindergarten with the Easter egg contest. So one day in kindergarten, the teacher, Mrs. Chong, gathers us all on the braided rug. Did you have a braided rug in kindergarten? And she hands each of us a big egg-shaped piece of white cardstock. We get to take these eggs home with us and decorate them however we want. And when we bring them back to school, they will be entered in the citywide Easter egg contest. And there will be ribbon prizes, blue, red, yellow, and white for honorable mention, whatever the heck that means. And the first prize winner in our class will win $5. And I am so excited. I know that I am going to win. I just know, as sure as I've known anything, that I am going to win that blue ribbon and that $5 first prize. I can taste it. So I skip home from school with my egg, and I'm very, very careful not to bend it. I just can't wait to get started. I plop right down at the kitchen counter with my big box of crayons, and I make a masterpiece. It's all pastels because, you know, Easter. And I draw bunnies all around the edge of the egg. And then I draw chickies inside the bunnies all around the edge of the egg. And then all around the inside the chickies, I draw a row of flowers. And all around inside the flowers, I draw a row of eggs, and on in concentric rings until the egg is totally filled. And it is glorious. And the next day, I'm so excited. I skip back to school with my egg, very careful not to bend it, and I proudly hand it in to Mrs. Chong. Cut to 3 weeks later. Once again, Mrs. Chong gathers us all on the braided rug, but this time it's to announce the prize winners. And I am so excited because I know I am about to win that blue ribbon, and that $5 first prize. But of course, Mrs. Chong starts off by announcing the honorable mention winners. She calls out, "Jill Sparks, come get your egg and your white ribbon and stand up here next to me while I read out the rest of the winners. Mandy Smith, come get your egg and your white ribbon. Stand up here next to me while I read out the rest of the winners. Melissa Dinwiddie, come up and get your..." Wait, what? What? No. No, that can't be right. That cannot be right. But Mrs. Chong is insistent that I come get my egg that has a white ribbon stapled to it. So I do, and I stand there, and my heart has sunk down to the ground, and time has slowed down, and I am devastated. Now, the fact that I'd actually won a ribbon was totally lost on me because I hadn't won the blue ribbon. Stephanie Wilkinson won the blue ribbon, and her egg was a scribble. It was just a scribble. It had none of the artistry of my egg. But I'm not bitter. No. Now, this was the first time that creative expression, that making art, was associated with a negative emotion for me. I cried for days. But it wasn't losing out to Stephanie Wilkinson's scribble in the Easter egg contest that made me quit making art. I didn't actually stop until I was 13. But that experience was the first of many, many lessons that taught me that what was important was not the joy of creating, but what other people thought about what I created. That moment at the kitchen counter, that was pure, unadulterated joy. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I just knew I would. What I would give to have the confidence of a 5-year-old. But I wasn't trying to impress anybody. That wasn't the focus. But over the years, the balance shifted until making art, doing anything creative, became all about impressing other people. And that is a recipe for perfectionist paralysis. By the time I was 13, I was so frozen, so mired in feeling like I wasn't good enough that I quit. Totally quit. I didn't come back to art until I was 28. I now refer to that time in between as my 15-year hiatus. When I came back to art at 28, that imperative to impress other people was still very much there. And about a year and a half into my return to art, around the time when I was just starting to sell my work, about the same time as that Impact Self-Defense class, actually, I entered several pieces in a local art show, and I won a whole bunch of ribbons, including a blue ribbon. Woohoo! Yay! Total validation. You would think that that would be super encouraging and that I would go home and make a whole bunch more art, right? Wrong! Instead, it was just confirmation that what was important was what other people thought, not making art for joy. And when you think that what is important is what other people think, that is a recipe for perfectionist paralysis, as I already said. For over a decade, I made a lot of art for clients, but I completely stopped making art for the joy of it. Art used to be this fun thing that I did to procrastinate, doing whatever else I was supposed to be doing. And now I did anything else to avoid doing my art. Now, I really didn't understand what was going on at the time. I just blamed it on, I'm busy. I don't have time. But now I know that that was just an excuse. Now I know that I was suffering from the same problem that made me quit at age 13, which is the same problem that keeps people who think of themselves as non-artists, not creative, from pursuing creative things that they might be interested in. And that problem is actually the only difference between artists and everybody else. Regardless of your art form, writing, painting, dancing, music, filmmaking, macaroni sculptures, whatever. The only difference between artists and everybody else is not talent, which is what I used to think. It's entitlement. Entitlement to creative play. That is why we give up doing creative things. It's not because we're not creative or not talented. It's because we don't feel entitled. So when we say, oh, I don't have time, or I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough, or what's the point? What's the purpose? I should just quit. All of these are code for I'm not entitled. So we need some reminders that we are entitled, because creative play is important. In fact, as I say all the time on this podcast, creative play is world-changing. When you engage in creative play for fun, purely for fun, that is a world-changing act. Now, over on my website, you can get a poster with 5 reasons why creative play is world-changing. You can go to melissadinwiddie.com or livecreativenow.com to find that poster and download it for free just by plopping in your email address. Put that up on your wall as a reminder. And I go into more depth into each of those 5 reasons in my book, The Creative Sandbox Way, which launches on November 15, 2016. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But I want to touch on just 2 today. First, number 1 on the poster, if you happen to own it already, creating affects your mood, which affects everything. It makes you happier. And scientific studies have shown that happiness is infectious. If you simply live near a happy friend, you have a 25% higher chance of becoming happier yourself. And if you live right next door to a happy person, that bumps up to 34%. And this happiness effect actually extends beyond those people that you come in direct contact with, up to 3 degrees out, to friends of friends of friends. So if you're old enough, you might remember those Fabergé organic shampoo commercials from the 1980s. If you tell 2 friends and they tell 2 friends and so on and so on and so on, if you make 2 people happier and they each make 2 people happier and so on and so on, if you make yourself happier by doing your creative thing, you are not being selfish. You are actually creating exponential positive change. That is world-changing. The other world-changing reason that I want to touch on is number 3 on the poster. Creating restores energy to your brain. This comes from the world of neuroscience. It turns out that willpower or self-control, which is something that we need in order to accomplish the important things that we want to accomplish in life, willpower can be mapped to a specific region of the brain in the prefrontal cortex. And willpower is a lot like a muscle. Anything that takes willpower actually fatigues your brain's ability to do anything else that takes willpower. So for example, if your boss yells at you and you really want to give him a piece of your mind, but you don't, you hold your tongue because you want to keep your job even more, that takes willpower. So your willpower reserves are now a little bit depleted. Your willpower muscle is a little bit fatigued. Now when you go home and there's a plate of cupcakes on the counter but you'd planned on making yourself a salad for dinner and maybe having a half a cupcake for dessert, guess who's having a whole plate of cupcakes for dinner? Because your willpower muscle is fatigued. Now, when your willpower muscle gets fatigued, it needs to be restored. And the good news is that it can be restored. So how do you do that? Well, studies have shown that the best way to restore energy to your brain's willpower reserves is not to veg out in front of the television or to dive into Facebook. It is to do something that engages your interest. Engages your interest. Now, this could be walking in nature or rock climbing or doing math problems, or guess what? Pursuing a creative activity. In other words, doing your art, whatever it is one of the most effective things that you can do to restore your ability to be patient, to stay focused, stay on track, and to resist the temptations and distractions that pop up to lure you off track. Doing your creative thing restores energy to your brain, and it is never self-indulgent to do something that restores your energy and enables you to do your other important work in the world. So the next time someone tells you, or maybe your inner mugger gremlin voices in your head tell you that you don't have time for your art, that doing your creative thing is frivolous and self-indulgent or unimportant, just remember that you're making the world a happier place, you're catalyzing exponential positive change, and you are restoring energy to your brain and enabling yourself to do your other important work. You are changing the world. Go get creating. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you're getting value out of this podcast, as always, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends. And if you haven't already, hop on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. Meanwhile, don't forget my book, The Creative Sandbox Way, comes out next Tuesday, November 15th. And I have a whole bunch of really cool bonuses for anybody who purchases during launch week between November 15th and November 21st. And you can check out all the bonuses at creativesandboxway.com. So head on over there, creativesandboxway.com, check out the bonuses and download a free sample chapter while you're at it. And I hope you buy the book on Tuesday. Until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating! Mwah!
Live creative now! Live creative now!
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.